This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehias Wuhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
there is illegal mining that is done by our citizens. We are informed they are also performing armed robberies, and they were now involved in rapes.
That's Lesotho's communications minister, Sam Rapapa, on a letter from his government apologizing for crimes carried out by his compatriots in South Africa. Details coming up also. Ethiopia has deployed hundreds of troops into Somalia's Gedo region to prevent Al-Shabaab militants from crossing over into Ethiopia. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. Kenyans are voting today to elect a president, members of parliament, county representatives, and other officials. VOA's Africa 54 TV managing editor, Vincent Makori, is in Nairobi following the situation. I asked him first how things are shaping up today.
Yes. Today is the day Kenyans decide who becomes their leader for the next 5 years. Voting for the president of the country, they're voting for their senator, they're voting for their member of parliament, they're voting for the county representative, and also they're also voting for women representatives. So it's a very important day for Kenyans because all these elections take place on the same day. We woke up early in the morning, went to polling stations just to see how things were taking shape. And one of the things that has been a source of frustration for many, many voters across the country is the delay in opening the polling stations. Most Kenyans like to wake up as early as 4 so that they can vote and go about their businesses as usual. Unfortunately, in so many polling stations, there were delays for reasons that have been given by Electoral Commission, not to the satisfaction of a majority of the people. Some people waited for 4 hours, some waited 3 hours, some 2 hours for the ballot papers to arrive. Some of them actually have waited for like half a day, and that has caused a lot of disappointment and frustration. But on the flip side, a great number of people said the process was very smooth. Some of them, even despite the waiting, they said the process itself looked smooth. It looked like the Electoral Commission had organized itself well.
A Gallup poll today comes up with a study. It says that Kenyans are skeptical about the honesty of the elections.
You know, Kenyans always want to believe that the Electoral Commission will conduct the elections well. But of course, the experience over and over leaves them disappointed. It has always left a bad taste in their mouths. Now, when it started, it starts with the day before the election. It's announced that some critical elections will not happen in the coastal county of Mombasa, where they were supposed to elect a governor. The Electoral Commission said there will not be an election of a governor because there was a mix-up of ballot papers and the photos in the ballot papers. They cancelled that and said the election for governor for that particular region will have to be held at another time. Another crucial county, Kakamega, there was a cancellation of the election of the governor for the same reason. They said there was a mix-up of ballots. There were two constituencies in the northwestern part of the country. They said there are two constituencies for members of parliament where elections will not happen, again, because of some errors with the ballot papers. When such things happen on the day before the election, and then on election day you have all these delays, it does erode the confidence of people in the Electoral Commission and the whole electoral process. Perhaps because of that, and based on the history, a poll like that of the Gallup poll may show that a great number of Kenyans do not have confidence.
The underfunded Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, I'm sure it's under pressure to ensure a very untroubled vote. And more than 22 million people are registered to vote. And the official results must be announced within a week.
So the hope is that the results will be announced within the stipulated time. And if they notice that there's a runoff necessary, then the runoff will be done within, I think, 90 days. And then Kenyans will go back to their lives as normal. So it's the hope that within 3 days they'll announce who is the winner.
That was VOA's Africa 54 TV managing editor Vincent McCourty. He was talking to me from Nairobi, Kenya. Kenya's presidential election today is expected to be a close race between Deputy President William Ruto and longtime opposition leader and former Prime Minister Raila Odinga. But as mentioned earlier, Gallup surveys show Kenyans lack faith in the honesty of their elections, which have been marred by irregularities and violence for decades. Still, Julie Ray, managing editor for World News at the Gallup polling company, says the relatively low confidence level is much higher than it was after the hotly contested election in 2007, when more than 1,000 Kenyans were killed in widespread violence.
I think they are skeptical. They're more optimistic than they were, you know, right after 2007, when we saw about 10% of population expressing confidence in the honesty of their elections. Of course, it seemed just violence and irregularities and mayhem after 2007. So I would say that, you know, confidence is not high, and I think that they are kind of waiting and seeing how this one goes.
What exactly did the latest Gallup poll say about the Kenyan election? You know, given all that's going on between the top two vote getters in the latest polls, it's pretty hotly contested.
It is. So what our data showed, of course, this is from surveys done late last year, showed a lot of the hot button issues. Both of the candidates, the top two candidates, are really pushing on in terms of ability to afford food, inflation. Those are major dissatisfiers. A lot of Kenyans are struggling to put food on the table. And of course, you know, skyrocketing inflation, situation with Ukraine, supply chain, drought, all that just adds to their already existing issues. And it's not just the poorest or the lowest income families in Kenya that are struggling. We saw in the data that majority of even the wealthiest 20% are struggling to afford food.
Did your polling go into how many people felt that corruption was a big problem in Kenya?
Yes. So that's another area where most Kenyans agree, whether you're from the poorest 20% or the richest 20%, they agree that there's a lot of corruption and it's widespread within their government. Now, that's been pretty consistent across the years, but in our most recent survey, we saw that 84% of Kenyans thought that corruption was widespread in their government.
Is there anything important that you thought came out in the polling that I didn't ask you about specifically, you think is important to mention?
You know, there was one thing that was interesting to me is that there could be, depending on how the outcome, a female vice president for the first time.
Three out of four candidates have female running mates.
Right. So we do ask whether people feel that women are treated with respect in their country. And we see that, you know, it's about 55% of Kenyans think that women are treated with respect. That's down a little bit. But of course, women are more likely than men to feel that that's not true.
That is Julie Ray, managing editor for World News at Gallup. She was speaking with VOA's Carol Van Dam earlier today from Gallup headquarters in Omaha, Nebraska. Two international election observers who have plenty of experience with the voting process said Kenya's efforts looked smoother than the country's last election, despite occasional glitches. VOA's Abdul Kashir Abud caught up with former President Joaquim Chissano of Mozambique and Goodluck Jonathan of Nigeria in Westland, Nairobi. Goodluck said he hoped that the process would continue to look as good as he saw early in the day.
First, let me congratulate my good brothers and sisters from this Republic of Kenya for the election. So far, we've seen that within Nairobi and the polling stations we have witnessed, the turnout appears good. The process is going on smoothly. We've not observed any infractions. We pray that it should continue in this spirit till the end of the voting.
And with some delays, any delays you've seen anywhere?
No significant delays yet that can affect the elections. Yes, that is from the few places we have observed. There may be some infractions, in other places, listening to the media, somebody has been arrested with a cutlass and things like that. But we have no witness sources seen. And we pray that we'll continue in that spirit.
So the readiness and preparedness of IBC, how do you judge it compared to other African countries?
I think I'm impressed with what I have seen. I'm quite impressed with what I've seen. I've been involved in a number of elections. I can say they have tried in terms of preparation. But most cases in elections, the beginning may look smooth, but later in the day things will change. We only pray that what we have observed now should continue till the tallying, coalition and tallying of results.
Former Mozambique President Joaquim Chissano said he observed a delayed start at one polling station, but noted the country's effort to ensure a free and fair election.
Well, the first observation was that we found big line of people waiting to enter the center, coming from two different censuses, from north-south, south-north, and converging at the gate. We arrived half an hour before 6, and the gates were still closed, and voting material was not yet here. So the ballot papers were not here. The presiding officers were not here. We found some clerks, and the material started arriving at exactly 6 o'clock when the minibuses came with all materials and the personnel. Then some agents of the candidates also started converging.
So you have been covering elections. With the preparation and what you observe, do you think it's going to be a fair election?
Well, not only from what I'm observing here, but from what we heard from the presidential candidates, because we did not see the other candidates. And from what we heard from the Independent Electoral Commission, I think that the handicaps, the problems which they have mentioned will be overtaken, and they are confident. And we believe in it. So we hope that these elections will be better than the previous ones.
Concern remains about possible violence erupting as counting begins, with a close race expected between the top two contenders. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met in brief talks with President Cyril Ramaphosa today before ending his visit to South Africa and heading to the Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda. He used his visit to promote a new U.S. strategy for Africa that he says is based on recognizing its role as a major geopolitical force. He reportedly also sought to counter Russia's effort to blame food shortages and inflation on U.S. support for Ukraine against Moscow's invasion of the country. The conflict has prevented the export of grains and fertilizers to the continent. South Africa and many African countries have remained neutral in the war. Blinken also marked Women's Day in South Africa, a commemoration of protests in 1956 by women of all races against white minority rule. In an appearance with the country's Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Blinken recognized what he calls the extraordinary innovation in the country that will impact South Africa and the world. He said, quote, "If you ever need to get a dose of hope and optimism for the future, it's right here, and it's women who are leading the way." Blinken will meet with officials and civil society in the DRC amid allegations of corruption and human rights abuses in the government of President Felix Tshisekedi. Human Rights Watch is urging Blinken to promote free and fair elections in 2023. The group notes that the last polls in 2018 were marked by widespread irregularities. Human Rights Watch also said Blinken should make clear that Washington would impose targeted sanctions on those supporting scores of armed groups in the eastern DRC, some of which are accused of colluding with the government. Activists say amnesty should be denied to anyone involved in international crimes, and a program should be introduced to disarm, demobilize, and reintegrate fighters. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Please note, we have moved our programs from voanews.com to voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. Find us on voaafrica.com. The government of Lesotho has sent a letter to Southern African President Cyril Ramaphosa acknowledging that some of its citizens are committing crimes in South Africa and apologizing for that. This follows the recent gang rape of 8 women who were filming a music video near the abandoned mine west of Johannesburg. Some of the alleged attackers, now jailed, are citizens of Lesotho. Police say they're illegal miners called Zama Zamas in South Africa. Darren Taylor reports.
In the letter, Lesotho Prime Minister Moketsi Majoro says he knows Basotho are deeply involved in serious crimes in South Africa and expresses sincere regret for that. Lesotho's communications minister, Sam Rapapa, says there seems to be a well-organized Basotho criminal network in South Africa.
There is illegal mining that is done by our citizens. We are informed they are also performing armed robberies and they were now involved in rapes.
He says his government's particularly concerned about the rise of Zama Zama gangs. According to police, these are dominated by heavily armed Basotho dressed in traditional blankets and balaclavas.
If this is not kept, it may affect the relations between the two countries. Lesotho has just signed what is called binational cooperation. It is then a cooperation between these two countries in relation to activities of the police, security issues, issues relating to local government, issues relating to science and technology, and many issues which are...
Rapapa says he's aware of allegations that some political parties in Lesotho, including some in coalition with his government, are being funded by the proceeds of illicit mining perpetrated by Zama Zamas.
As to whether they are linked to the political parties, I won't deny that because they are Basotho and all political parties would obviously want supporters. But they are criminals, and if they are criminals, they have to be treated as such.
He says Lesotho police are cooperating with their South African counterparts to identify and stop Basotho criminals.
Even the Lesotho government has established what is called Operation Restore Hope, which was meant for attack on the crime of imports of firearms from South Africa to Lesotho and even from Lesotho to South Africa, which are illegal firearms, the stock theft, which is the cattle and sheep and goats that are being traded by stock thieves between the two countries.
He says the operation will now also focus on Lesotho nationals mining illegally in South Africa.
The army in Lesotho is now out manning the borders and also even in the streets to identify those perpetrators because they also have information on who are these perpetrators, who do crimes in Lesotho and they run into South Africa, or others who do crimes in South Africa and they run into Lesotho.
Rapapa adds his government will work with Pretoria to stop the flow of illegal migrants from the tiny mountain kingdom into its much bigger neighbour. But security analysts doubt the two governments will come close to achieving this. Other than the few informal rundown border posts, only a few mountain ranges separate South Africa and Lesotho. And the Basotho are even poorer than most South Africans, giving them great incentive to cross into their neighbour, using well-worn paths through the mountains to bypass border checks. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Authorities in southwestern Somalia say Ethiopia has deployed hundreds of troops into Somalia's Gedo region to prevent Al-Shabaab militants from crossing over into Ethiopia. Mohamed Hussein reports from Mogadishu, Somalia.
Gedo's regional administration spokesman Ali Yusuf Abdullahi said the Ethiopian troops have been coming into the region since the end of last week and established bases in and around the border town of Dolo. Abdullahi, also known as Ali Juba, spoke with VOA via phone Monday and said the troops numbering about 2,000 were deployed to fight al-Shabaab militants, who started to gather large number of fighters near the border. Abdullahi said he wanted to share with the people of Somalia that a new problem has arisen from the enemy terrorist al-Shabaab that continues in Hiran, Bokol and Gedo. He says Gedo administration authorities are impacted by the terrorist group's new attacks into the border areas with Ethiopia because of the increase in security. He says the enemy infiltrated border areas and that it is necessary to cooperate with Ethiopia. Therefore, he says new troops have arrived and staying in and around Dolo. Regional experts say they believe al-Shabaab wants to establish a presence in Ethiopia. Meanwhile, Abdullahi told VOA that an Ethiopian airstrike hit several al-Shabaab positions in the Gedo region, including the vicinity of Kabas, where al-Shabaab militants were gathering to launch an attack into Ethiopia. He said the airstrike was conducted in coordination with the Ethiopian military and Somalia's Jubaland State authorities. Asked whether the federal government of Somalia knew about the arrival of Ethiopian fresh non-African Union mission troops in the region, he replied by saying that the government knew the troops were coming to fight militant group. The Ethiopian troop deployment in Somalia comes after the Ethiopian military said its security forces killed more than 800 al-Shabaab fighters in response to a rare cross-border attack. The Ethiopian military also said 24 top al-Shabaab leaders were among those killed in recent operations against the terrorist group. Late last month, hundreds of al-Shabaab fighters crossed Somalia's border with Ethiopia and clashed with specially trained counter-terrorism forces known as the Liu Police. The group entered Ethiopia at several sites from Somalia's border regions of Hiran and Bokol, according to security officials. U.S. assessments suggest al-Shabaab fighters may have gone as far as 150 kilometers into Ethiopia before being deterred. The Horn of Africa analyst recently told VOA that domestic unrest in Ethiopia and the concentration of troops in its Tigray conflict make this an opportune time for al-Shabaab to strike. The president of Ethiopia's Somali region announced last week that Ethiopian troops will establish a buffer zone inside Somalia to prevent further al-Shabaab cross-border attacks. After recent suspected Ethiopian military airstrikes in the region of Hiran, al-Shabaab militants destroyed the antennas of the privately owned telecommunications companies in the region. Al-Shabaab has been fighting Somali government and EU peacekeepers since 2007. It also carried out deadly attacks into neighboring Kenya and one in Uganda. Mohamed Daisane, VOA News, Mogadishu.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyes Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, and our engineer, John Walker, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.